For those of you I haven't got to you and hug your necks, good to see you and thankful you're here. Just a delight to gather as we have this morning, see as many as we do have with us today. I know in the eyes of the world this wouldn't be a very big gathering at all, but you know, to see two or three of the Lord's people gather as we have this morning, what a blessing it is that the Lord has given that understanding in our hearts and in our minds that we need this, that we need to meet to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Remember the brethren in the past often saying that if it's our reasonable service to do it, it's certainly unreasonable if we don't do it. And I pray that the Lord will truly bless our gathering, so that the word of the Lord might have free course and that it would be glorified. That is, that it would be used to allow us to honor and worship and praise the God of all heaven, who has been so very good to each and every one of us, that are His children, that are born of His Spirit, that have been made alive by the grace of God, and allowed by the grace of God also to know where our life has come from, that it's not out of us and through us or anything that we've done, but by and through His wonderful work that was done for us in spite of where we are and where we would be. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, please pray for me as we read together and as we make an effort to speak from Psalm 37. Day, Psalm 37. I'm going to read the entirety of the psalm, and it's rather lengthy, but I hope we'll just pay close attention to the words and not planning on, or we don't really have a plan. I pray the Lord will just bless us to follow the leadership of the Spirit. This psalm has been on my mind this weekend. It came on my mind as we were traveling down the road, and I've been looking at it and thinking about it, and it's continued to be on my mind this morning, so we can read it together, and the Lord will bless us in the reading, and we'll have some understanding, some light that comes from Him. It has such wonderful lessons for us as God's children, as all of the Word of God does. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and he forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Throughout this psalm, you see two pictures, really. You see a picture of the righteous and how life in this world is with the righteous. And you see a picture of the wicked and how different and unlike the righteous, the life and the end of both the righteous and the wicked are. We see a picture here of really two types of people, two types of human beings. Sometimes men get the idea that the reason the righteous are righteous is because they made themselves that way by their own efforts or through their own works. The Bible teaches us just the opposite of that. That if we have deliverance, if we're numbered among the righteous, if we have any hope of being a little child of grace, of one of God's little children, if we have any good about us, if we have any positive attributes, if there's anything that's worthwhile that we have in us, it's not of us, but it's by and through the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. I read this passage, I think, of Psalm 3 and verse 8, where he tells us very clearly, we often speak of this verse, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. That means it's not me or you or anyone else who for themselves gain themselves a position of righteousness where they have the benefits and the blessings of the Lord, but salvation is and belongs unto the Lord. And get the next verse, or the next part of that verse. He says, thy blessing is upon thy people. That's the difference between the righteous and the wicked, is the choice that God made, just like we sang that hymn. We have not chosen him, but he's chosen us. He says here, for us as God's children, and I identify God's children as the righteous. They're the righteous not because they made themselves so. They're righteous not because they made a profession of faith or followed the Lord or did any of those things. Because if we had been left to our own selves, to our own efforts, to our own abilities, the Bible tells us that there would be none of us that would ever choose to be righteous, never choose to follow Him, never choose to take up our cross and live for Jesus. Yet as God's little children, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. And He tells us, don't fret. Y'all need that message today? You ever find yourselves fretting? You know, the word fret doesn't sound too much like a Bible word, but it sure is. It's, when you're fretting, it's a Bible term. But He tells us here not to fret. And He tells us not to fret about evildoers, not to fret about the wicked, not to fret about what's going on in the in places in this world and all around us in this world where men seem to be doing all kinds of evil things. And rather than seemingly right now to be falling under God's judgment, they even to be seem to be prospering sometimes in their way. Do you ever see people and you wonder how in the world they get along doing like that, acting like that, behaving like that? And wonder how could it be so well with them? How could things seem to be going so well with them? And sometimes you see the lives of God's little children and they seem to be stumbling and bumbling and struggling along. And it seems like even when they, you know, it's almost like no good deed goes unrewarded. And it seems like even when they make their best efforts, things seem to go so hard and difficult. And if we're not very careful as God's little children, we can get to the idea and the thought where the psalmist gets at times. And we begin to fret about things. We begin to worry. We begin to become anxious. We begin to become most concerned. Sometimes we just get plain angry. You ever see all the evil in this world and just get angry? You know, sometimes certain folks can come on TV and I'm watching the television and a certain person can show up on the screen and I can feel a little anger. I hope none of you can relate to that, but I see from your smiles or your faces that you can. And if we're not careful as God's little children, we can fret to the point that we lose the joy and the peace and the rest that's promised to us as God's little children as we live here in this world. And listen, it's really, really important for each and every one of us to trust in the Lord and to lean not on our own understanding and to recognize that this world is an evil place. It's not new to God. It's not surprising to God. This world has been evil since the fall of man. Sin entered into the picture and death by sin. And evil has always been attacking God's little children, God's people as they lived here in this world. For the little child of God, this world has never been an easy place to live. That is in and of yourself. It's impossible to really find peace. But there is peace to be had and found here in this world. And He lays out how to do that right here in the Word of God. That's what I love about the Bible. Is that the Bible is instruction to tell us not only about heaven and how one day we'll be with the Lord in heaven by His grace and by His wonderful finished work, but how we can live in this time world, in an evil world, in an untoward generation, in a world full of wickedness and a world full of spiritual wickedness and high places. The Apostle Paul said there were spiritual principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I are living in a world where you are under attack, your family's under attack, your marriage is under attack, your children are under attack. We're living in a world where the enemy is all around us. If we're God's little children, we're living in a land that is not our home. We're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. And we're only here for a little while. And if there was no help and hope in that, it would be a depressing message today. This friend, this church, this world is not a friend to help us on to God. This world is the enemy of God's little children. And this psalmist, the psalmist here, David, is telling us about that. And he's telling us, though, that we're not to fret. And when you find yourselves fretting, remember the Lord said, fret not. I said that to me this morning. Because I fret probably more than anybody in here. It doesn't take me much to start fretting. I can get up on Monday morning, everything be going good, and somebody can give me a call, or I can see something on the television, or I can even think it in my own head, and the next thing you know, something has got me so worried, so concerned, so upset. And usually what I'll do, I hope I start doing better. I need your prayers that I can do better. Usually I try to go to Google and I'll say, well, maybe I can find a little more about this information and I'll feel better. And when I get on Google and I start searching, guess what? I don't usually feel any better, because usually the worst case scenario about any problem that you have is laid out there. And when you really read it, you go, oh no, that must be me. And I begin to fret. I begin to be concerned and I begin to worry. And I forget what the Word of God tells me not to fret. Fret not. He says, fret not thyself. And, you know, many times we hear a sermon like this and we go like, I know some whole lot of people could really use this sermon. I know a whole lot of people that could get this. And we miss the whole thing. Because if we are hearing it, it's not for other people. It's not for somebody else. It's not for, I wish my husband would get this message so he wouldn't fret so much. I wish my wife would get this message. I wish my kids would have this message. Listen, this message is to each and every one of God's little children. If you're born of the Spirit, if you've been touched by the hand of God, you're numbered among the righteous, not because you were righteous in and of yourself. I want to make it clear today that when the Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, He saw there was none good, no, not one. He saw me, and He saw me in my sins, and yet in His great love and in His great mercy and in His great compassion, He loved me and He loved you, and now He's given us His Word so that as we live in an unfriendly place and an unfriendly world, we can fret not because of evildoers. Because evil's going to happen in our lives. We're not going to get it all fixed. The world's not going to get better and better. It's not going to evolute up into some utopia where everybody is getting along and sitting around and singing kumbaya and everything goes along good. I'm telling you, it's going to wax worse and worse. And the day that we have right now is the day that the Lord has made, and we've got every reason right now not to fret. And if you're fretting like I'm fretting, and then this is the message He's given us, not to fret, and then He tells us there's a reason not to fret, and that is salvation is of the Lord. He is our deliverer. We have a mighty God. We have a friend in Jesus. We have one we can cast all our cares upon because He cares for us. We have one that He's told us what to do. And along with what He's told us to do, He gives us some explicit and clear commandments here on what to do. And along with each one of these commandments, He gives us a blessing that comes right after it, that as we walk in those commandments and obedience to Him, we will receive that blessing. Not maybe receive it, might not possibly get it. No, it's a promise from God. Isn't it good to have God's promises? He's made some promises to you today. He's made some promises to you, not because you deserved it, but because He loved you. Somebody said, well, why would He love me? He loved you because He saw fit to love you. It was according to His own good pleasure to love you. He looked down upon you and loved you. And you say, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not one of His. Maybe I'm numbered among the wicked. Maybe I don't belong to Him. Listen, if you have a concern about that and you have a desire to be among His, that's evidence that you belong to Him and that He loved you. And even if you question it, even if you're brought to the place that maybe I'm not worthy of that, that's a good sign and a great evidence that His love was there for you, and these promises are written to you, and He's even, I believe, in this meeting this morning, blessing us to look at it like God's little children. I wonder how many, have you ever thought about when you try to speak on a verse or hear a verse preach, how many preachers have preached that in the past? How many times has the Lord used this inspired word to feed His little sheep down through the ages? And the messages that bless God's little children through hard and difficult times are still just as good today as they ever were. The blessings that helped my daddy and helped my mama are still just as good today. The blessings that helped my little grandmama, helped my granddaddy, are still just as good today. And those blessings will be there for my little Piper, Gracie Lynn, my family. Until the Lord returns for God's little children, those blessings are there today. And there are some commandments He gives, there are some instruction He gives, and there's blessings in walking in them. Have you found that to be the case? That there's blessings in doing what the Lord tells you to do, even sometimes when you don't want to do it? You know, the old human nature just wants to fret. I've learned that. When you're at peace, you kind of go like, everything's going good. Must be something wrong. Let me find it. And I go looking for it. And sure enough, if you're looking for it, you'll find it. Something's got to be wrong. Oh, listen, little child of grace. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious. There's another thing. Don't worry about them. And certainly don't get envious of them. You ever get envious of them? You know, that guy over there, boy, he's got all this stuff. Why in the world don't I get a little bit of this stuff? He's living like crazy. And I'm here struggling. And he's got a... Look at the house he's got. And I got... Look what I got. And then... But then what happens is we fail to really look at what you have. Notice this verse, and I read it real quickly, but none of this could you get on, and you could be in this psalm forever. Y'all hang in there, because you could be here a long, long time. He says this in verse 16, get this, a little that a righteous man has. Now again, who's a righteous man? What's the difference between the righteous man and the wicked? God's grace. Can I say it again? It's God's grace. If you and your home is a righteous home and a righteous place, and there's righteous men and righteous woman there, if there's any righteousness in any home, it's because of God's grace. But He says this about that home that's blessed with God's grace and God's favor. He says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. So I'm telling you, what your Lord's blessed you with today, whatever that is, you're blessed. Because He's touched your life. And you have awaiting for you an eternal inheritance in heaven that will not be taken away. And the blessings of heaven, if all we had in this world was nothing that would be considered by the world to be anything, I want you to know to have that sweet promise of one day leaving this world and being with the Lord, whatever we would suffer in time, oh, what a blessing it is to have that promise. But then look how good the Lord has been to us. You know, the home we live in, if we look at it through the flesh, we'll always want something more because that's the nature of man. You know what man is satisfied with? Nothing. You know when he gets something, you know what he wants? A little something else. And when you get something else, you know what he wants? A little more. If he has a little bit of money, you know what he wants? He wants a little more money. And then when he gets that's not enough. He wants some more money, so he works himself to death, wears himself out to build up riches, to build up things. Many times they're not good for him. They end up harming him. I'm not saying today if the Lord's blessed you, that means there's something wrong. If the Lord's blessed you, be thankful with everything that He's given you. Be thankful for what you have. But I'll tell you, if you're not content with what you have, you're not happy. Be thankful for what the Lord has provided you this moment. And if we stand in need of more, you know who the one who gave us what we have is the Lord. And if He gave us what we have and we need more, can the Lord provide? I believe He can, don't you? I believe the Lord will. And not only can He, I believe He will provide. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So when we start becoming envious... I heard that bump. Is she okay? Oh, bless her. For they shall soon be cut down. Like, I'm sorry, that's my grandbaby. I got to pause a minute. Okay, get that bottle. That's good. If a bottle will stop it, it's okay. for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The wicked will soon be cut down. When we get envious of those in the world, listen, we see folks in the world and they seem to be getting along, don't have any conscience, don't have any concern, live any way, act any way, do any way. Brethren, let us be thankful that the Lord has seen fit to show us His grace. You know where you and I would be if we were outside of the grace of God today? We'd be running full course in this world according to the lust of the flesh and of the mind. We are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We would not have any love for the things of God or concern for the things of God. All we'd want to do is live as long as we can and get as much of this life as we could get. But the end of the wicked is not a pretty picture. There's a day of judgment and a day of wrath that's going to come for the wicked. Let us never be envious. Let us never want what they have. We have a promise of the Lord that when our lives end, we have a heaven that awaits us. We have the glorious blessings of the Lord awaiting us. We have the promise of the Lord that whatever He gives us, a little, if it is just a little, that I'll be with you and provide just what you need every day and every hour. I'll be your strength. I'll be your light. I'll be your help. I'll be your instructor. I'll supply what you need. We have a friend in Jesus, and we would never want to exchange it with all of the things that make that glitter and seem so glossy. The old devil would come along if he could and keep you so dissatisfied all the time. Don't fret about it. He says, fret not, not only in verse 1, he comes down in verse 7 and says, fret not. He comes down in verse 8 and says, fret not. Here in this chapter, he tells us not to fret 3 times. So when you start fretting and I start fretting, and as a matter of fact, when you see me fretting, y'all tell me to fret not. Fret not, Brother Gary. Fret not. Remember the great God of heaven that we have. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. That's a commandment. Now, who is it that can trust in the Lord? Can the dead alien sinner trust in the Lord? No. First of all, he doesn't believe in the Lord. He doesn't have faith to believe. In order to trust in the Lord, you have to believe in the Lord. You have to know there is a God. Today, if you know there is a God, there's evidence that you've been born of His Spirit. You know that He's the Lord. Now, what are we to do? We're to trust in Him. You know you can have a God, and He can be your God, and He is Lord, and you and I can fail to trust in Him. Just examine our lives for just a little while. Are there times, and are there places, and I hope none of us say, no, never have been me, I'm not guilty of this, that we've known that He's there, but we failed to trust Him. When we come into the pulpit to preach to the Lord's people, what should I do? I should trust in the Lord. And if I'm trusting in the Lord, should I be shaky in fear and scared to death? No, I should be trusting in the Lord. Not that there isn't some fleshly... we never get that battle completely. There's some humility about that. And we should humble ourselves before the Lord. When we look to the Lord and pray to Him, should we not trust that the Lord's going to provide what's best for us? We need to actively trust in the Lord and depend upon Him. Trust in the Lord. And he says, and do good. You know, outside of the Lord, we can't even do good. There's no good in us. And the only way we can do good is by the grace of God and through the mercy of God. And the only way we know what good is from the Word of God. That's why He's given us His Word, so that we'll know what's good. Trust in the Lord and do good. And there's a promise that comes in that. And that is not how you get to be a little child of God, how you get to go home to heaven. He says, if you trust in the Lord and do good, He says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Boy, that's a promise, isn't it? Now, the land that's under consideration, I believe here, is the Lord's blessed church and the fellowship of the church and the land that He's provided, that's very much like the land of Canaan that was provided to the children of Israel. As they got out of Egyptian bondage, they was carried into the promised land. And as they were obedient unto the Lord, they were blessed to enter into the promised land. And it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And brethren, I believe today we have before us in the Lord's church a land that flows with milk and honey. I believe we have a place of food and drink. It's a place where we get fed. It's a place where the Word of God is preached. It's a place where that we come together and sing. We behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. We get instructed on how to live and how to walk and how to behave. And as we trust in the Lord and do what He has told us to do, there are blessings in that obedience. He says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Then he comes down in verse 4 and he tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord. We trust in the Lord, and then we need to delight in the Lord. I hope the Lord's your delight today. Is He your delight? I hope church is a place you not only just want to come, but I hope it's a place you just say, oh, I get to go today. I hope I get to go today. You know, when you get to a vacation or you're going, planning on going to some place, you really want to go, you just, oh, I can't wait for us to get there and do that. I hope you feel like that about church. I hope it's not a place, well, okay, it's this Sunday, I guess. This is what I'm supposed to do. So I'll go get in my car and we'll head over to church and be there. No, I hope it's a place where you delight to be there. And the reason you delight to be there is because you want to meet and you want to gather with God's people and you want to worship the Lord. As the hymn writer said, Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. At once they sing, at once they pray, they hear of heaven and learn the way. I hope this is your delight. Who is it that it can be? Can you just turn that on? Or does that have to work on the inside? Lord has to work that on the inside. But we ought to be praying about it. There are sometimes it gets to be a little cold with me. Sometimes I don't warm up to it. Sometimes I don't think like that. And I'm not feeling that way. And I believe all of us fight that battle. We have a whole flesh that we have to put off. And a spiritual man, a spiritual woman we have to put on. And we need to be fighting that battle. And He tells us, as we delight thyself in the Lord, He says this. Here's the promise. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now some men read that and think, well, if I delight in the Lord, He'll give me anything I want. And there's a sense in which that's true. Because if you're truly delighting in the Lord, your wants are a whole lot different than what they are when you're in the flesh. I got a whole lot of wants in the flesh that are not good for me in any way whatsoever. How many restaurants did we pass going down the road that I could have thought just, boy, I can stop there. And I could just feel myself. That's my want. That's a fleshly want. This is not saying you delight yourself in the Lord. If I truly delight myself in the Lord, it's going to curb my wants. It's going to curb what I'm looking for. Life won't be about how much can I get and who can I get it from. It'll be about how can I help God's little children and how can I live in a better way and honor Him and walk for Him in a way to bring glory and honor and praise to His name. My wants change and my direction changes. And God's little children are the only ones who have that dealing on the inside. But you and I are not just supposed to have it on the inside. We're to put that old man off and walk it on the outside. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And here's what I found. When I'm needing instruction and encouragement from the Lord, as we look to the Lord and lean upon Him, the meetings we go to seem so sweet. The preaching that we get to hear seems so wonderful. The conversations are where they ought to be. The fellowship is sweet. It all comes from the Lord. And we come looking, but we come looking to the Lord. Brethren, as we come together, let us pray. Lord, bless our preacher. Bless our services. Bless our congregation. That we're truly delighting ourselves in the Lord. And He'll give us the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, he comes in with another commandment. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. That means just roll it all over to Him. How much peace comes when you just turn it over to the Lord? Just roll it over to the Lord. And that doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. No, you're about your Father's business. We're doing what the Lord tells us to do. But have you ever found that sometimes it seems like the more I'm doing, the less... It doesn't seem to be working. I'm just not getting there. And I think sometimes what more could... Listen, I need to turn it over to the Lord. Isn't it some peace comes when you just stop worrying and fretting? Fret not, but just turn it over to the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And he goes on and he says it again. Trust also him in him. And here's what happens. And he shall bring it to pass. Doesn't mean he's going to bring everything you want to pass, but he'll bring his will to pass. He will do that which is best for us in our lives. And as the one told me not too long ago, not only should we pray and ask the Lord for this and that, we should also ask the Lord, help me to be reconciled, though, O Lord, to whatever thy will is. Not just what I want or what I'd like. That is to delight yourself in the Lord, to be satisfied and reconciled to whatever God would have for me. And that's where true peace comes. This is true for a little child of God, if he's a young person just getting started in life, or whether he's in the twilight years of his life. Listen, this lesson is for us every single day. Commit thy way. At this moment in the pulpit, I'm not having any trouble doing that. But tomorrow when something hits, and it's sure to come, and evil rises and smacks me in the face, and I have things that get in my way, I've got to remember, I need to commit my way. I need to trust in Him. I need to delight in Him. I need to commit my way unto Him. It's in His hands. I look at our little trip just going down the road the other day, just yesterday, day before. Traveling up and down the road, it was some things that got in the way. Seemed like everywhere we went, going to Cracker Barrel, trying to get things so we could eat real quick and get to church at the time I wanted to get there. Not really the time we needed to, but the time I wanted to be there. See, that's what it was about. I wanted to get there at a particular time, so we planned it all out. Everybody got up right time, we got on the road right time, got everywhere we needed to be at the right time, got into Cracker Barrel, it ought to be not too long. And everything seemed to go like, whoo, this is the slowest waitress. They're never going to get the food here. And then we eat it so fast, boom, 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 get the ticket, waiting for the ticket. I ask the person to bring me the ticket. Manager goes, get somebody. I have two people looking for the ticket. Next thing you know, we're sitting there with two tickets, three tickets. I don't know how many tickets they gave us. Went to pay for the ticket. They couldn't figure out which ticket had been paid, which one hadn't been paid, so we ended up being held up. If Brother Garrett had been just a little more patient, we'd have had the ticket, one ticket, paid it, and gone. Instead, I'm sitting there waiting, not patiently. The scripture says, wait and murmur not. You know, the hymn writer says, I'm waiting, but I'm murmuring. And there's Brother Junior. I won't put where he was, but... You know, got to church right, just fine. Everything went fine. The only thing that was hindered by all of that was just me missing some blessings. And I thought that's just a small thing, but listen, I do that a lot, don't you? I do it way too much. Worrying about stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. Fretting about things I have no control over. Not being content with what God's given me. Not realizing the blessing I have in my hand right now. Or what God's given me right now. What He's done for me right now. And what He's done all the way down through my life. And even right up to this very moment. He's taking care of me right now. At this very moment. And He will never leave me or never forsake me. Because He loved me enough to send His Son to die for me. And Jesus paid the sin debt for me. And one day we'll be with Him in glory, and it won't be when we want to go, it'll be when He says come. And if I could just get that in my head a little better, and then fight that old man off, just keep him under. Keep him in subjection. Brother Tony Parker talked about how the Lord has made us kings and priests unto God yesterday. And the thing He's given us to be king over is not everybody else. He's given us the ability to keep our old body under subjection and keep it conquered. We can rule over the old man by the grace and through the mercy and grace of God. We can keep our old bodies under subjection. And when we fail to do that, we're not doing what we ought to do as God's children. And we miss blessings here in this world. I love verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means the Lord will guide you right through your life as a little child of grace. And he delighteth in his way. That is, the man delights in the way of the Lord. And then verse 24 is the one I want to get, because it says, though he fall. That's how I know it's not Jesus. It's under consideration here. Sometimes when I read a good man, I'm thinking it's Jesus. You know how I know that's not Jesus? Jesus never fell. But you and I fall. Who falls? God's little children fall. Isn't it good to know that God's little children can fall? Because I tell you, if they can't, I'm not one of his. And I say to you, you're not either. And I say it in love, but it's true. Because we all fall. Notice this, though. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Isn't that good today? Though I fall, and he'll not utterly cast me down. You know why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We got underneath us the everlasting arms that will never let one of God's little children fall from him and fall outside of his love and his watch care. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 6 says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. You know what your righteousness is? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's your righteousness. And he'll let that shine. I see it shining in y'all today as I look out among you. I see how delightful 'tis to see. You know, when you look at God's little children and you just see them in the flesh, it's not delightful. As a matter of fact, you can have a real fuss right in the church house. Seen it happen. Wish I'd never seen it, but I've seen it happen. Where it breaks out right in the church house. Where God's little sweet, humble people get in the flesh, and the next thing you know, somebody said something to somebody else and the hurt lasts for years. God forbid that be the case here. But brethren, I want you to know, if we don't rule as kings and keep our bodies under subjection, it can happen in a church house. It can happen in your family. It can happen in your home. And the old devil is just right there laughing anytime he can get us to be at one another. May the Lord help us to remember who he is, and remember this, the Lord upholds us with his hand. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. That's thy righteous walk. The judgment there is our righteous walk as the noonday. The Lord will bring that out so that God's little children will walk in a way to honor and glorify him. When you and I do what the Lord tells us, it honors and glorifies the Lord. That's why we ought to do it. It's good for us, but that's not the reason we ought to do it. It's a blessing in doing it, but that's not the reason we ought to do it. The reason we ought to do it is because it's what God has told us to do, and it honors and glorifies him. He says another commandment. This is God's commandment. Rest in the Lord. That's a good commandment, isn't it? He says rest. You trust in me. You lean upon me. You depend upon me for your home in heaven. Are you dependent upon the Lord today for your home in heaven? If you're not, you're not resting. If you've got anything added to that, you're not truly resting. When it comes to heaven, how will we ever get there? The only way we'll get there is to be carried there by the wonderful God who loved us so much to die for us, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and washed us pure. We've been made accepted in the Beloved, and therefore we can rest in the Lord. I would want every one of you today who have a desire and a hunger in your heart to be with the Lord one day, to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for you. And then in time, we're also to rest in the Lord. I've often said old Baptists are really good, it seems, at the first one. But they're not so good at the second rest. They rest really good when it comes to, I'm trusting in the Lord for heaven. But when it comes to just getting along in this world for a day or for a moment, it seems like sometimes just a little bit just troubles us and tears us all to pieces. The Lord said, you rest in me. I can take care of it. I'll take care of thee. We're to rest in the Lord and wait. Here, wait. Not like Gary was waiting in Cracker Barrel. Not like many of us do wait. We're to wait patiently. For him, not waiting on man, not depending upon man, but God's going to take care of it. God will take care of the wicked. One day they're going to come under the judgment of God. We should never be envious of them. And God will keep us safe from them, even though they might try to destroy us because they hate. They're not your friend to help you along with God. If they could, they would close the door of this church and every old Baptist church or any churches that is preaching the name of Jesus Christ and wipe every Bible from the face of the earth. If they could, but here's the truth, they can't, because God will take care of His people. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Wow. That's a responsibility. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. And get that old anger rising up in us. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. And fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Sometimes somebody does something and they say, well, you just wait till I get the chance. They're going to pay for that. They wish they hadn't said that. They just let them cross me. That's not what he said here. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. These things are not easy in the flesh, but I'll tell you, this is peace. This is how a little child of God has peace in this world. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And there's a reason. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. I simply believe that means that God's little children are going to be taken care of as they live here in this world. David said it right here. We read it. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I'll tell you, in my experience, among the Lord's people, I've seen them go through a lot of hard things. You have too. But I've seen those that trusted in the Lord be taken care of. They suffered even to death, but He took care of them. Sometimes I'd wonder, how could they still be saying such wonderful things when they're suffering in such a... Seems like sometimes those that suffer the most honor Him the most. Because they give Him the glory in spite of everything that's going wrong. They said, I know this is happening. I wish it wasn't happening, but all the Lord's going to take care of us. You know what it's taught me? That as we trust in the Lord, you'll not be ashamed you did it. He will take care of you. He says, for yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place and it shall not be. We'll close with verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I believe that's God's little children who walk in obedience to the commandments that are laid out here in Psalm 37 and so many other places in God's Word. It isn't how we again become a child of God, but it's how we as God's little children find peace in a world that's so contrary to what the Bible teaches ought to be. How can we make it? Looking to the Lord. And what will the Lord do? He'll sustain us. He will keep us. He will take care of us. And one sweet day He'll carry us out of this old troubled world to be with Him forevermore because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. I appreciate your prayers and your thoughts, and continue to pray for me. God bless you.
66.